الرسول.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. Praise be to Allah alone, we praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is the truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can show Him guidance. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is His last messenger. Dear viewers everywhere, welcome to a new episode of Our Belief. This is going to be the second episode on the same subject, which is the first pillar of Islam. Pronouncing and declaring the oneness of Allah by testifying that La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. I begin by sharing with you, brothers and sisters, Muslims and non-Muslims as well, some of the virtues of this beautiful statement. Al-Qawl al-Thabit, as Allah the Almighty described in the Quran. In a hadith that is narrated by a companion by the name Utban ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. This is a very beautiful glad tidings. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Verily, Allah has prohibited fire from touching the flesh or hurting a person who said, La ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. So it is not just mere saying or uttering the testimony of La ilaha illallah or Muhammadur Rasulullah. Rather, the person has really to mean it, understand what it means, and believe in it, and seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying it. So, Allah in this hadith would protect and will shelter a person who testifies to his oneness sincerely from his heart, seeking his pleasure, will shelter him on the day of judgment against the fire of hell. May Allah make us amongst them. In another hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, and it's a sound hadith as well, من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. In the previous one, we discussed only saying لا إله إلا الله. There is another statement to be added to that in order to glorify Allah and praise Him and exalt Him as well. So the full statement will be as follows. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone. To Him belongs the domain and all the praise belongs to Him. And He is able to do all things. So four statements. In one, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahu al-mulku, wa lahu al-hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our most beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whosoever says this statement 100 times every day will get the following virtues. Number one, that will be equivalent to freeing 10 slaves. Islam as a religion was the pioneer with regards to freeing the slaves and spreading freedom in the society before any other society or any other religion. Even before the modern and the contemporary legislations. So, if you say La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah to the end of the statement, you receive a reward that is similar to freeing 10 slaves. Number one. Number two is that your asset of good deeds, you will have 100 good deeds be deposited in the balance of your good deeds. And on the other hand, 100 bad deeds of yours or evil actions will be remitted or erased from the record of your bad deeds. And this is my act. Furthermore, and on the day of judgment, no one will present better deeds than you just for saying this statement 100 times every day. Nobody will be able to present better deeds on the day of judgment than you except somebody who did similar to what you did, or perhaps a little extra. In what sense? He used to say this statement 100 times every day, or maybe 110, 120, or 200. So if he increased more. So there is an area of permissibility to increase to that number which the Prophet ﷺ designated. There are so many virtues and good news and glad tidings with regards to uttering the statement of the oneness of Allah while believing in it. One of them, and it is not the last, a hadith that is narrated by Mu'ad ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him, in which he narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah." And this is really the best of the best. Whosoever's last statement before death will be, "There is no God worthy of worship but Allah," he shall enter paradise. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is not that easy to have this statement present before your eyes and in your mind while somebody is struggling with his death rattle or experiencing death. Why? Because people will be busy with other things that will occupy their minds. In the hadith, Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, gathered his two sons before his death. And he said, "I enjoin upon you two things. The first is La ilaha illallah." So Prophet Noah, who came thousands of years before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, enjoined upon his sons before death to say La ilaha illallah, to adhere to it, to believe in it, and to act upon it. And the second he said, and to say frequently Subhanallahi wa bihamdih, which means glory be to Allah and all praise be to Him. Why? Because saying Subhanallahi wa bihamdih, according to Prophet Noah, is the prayer of everything that exists. I'm not talking about only humans, or only humans and jinn. I'm talking about every creature, whether what we think is life or lifeless objects, even mountains and stones, animals, you name it. وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ فَإِنَّهَا صَلَاةُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبِهَا يُرْزَقُ الْخَلْقُ. As a result of frequently saying glory be to Allah and all praise be to Him, Allah provides His living creatures with their provision. There is a verse in Surah Al-Isra, verse number 44. Allah the Almighty says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. And that means, and there is nothing, nothing refers to any creature. There is no creature but praises and glorifies the praise of Allah the Almighty. But you don't know how they are praising Allah or glorifying Him. So Prophet Nuh, peace be upon him, explained to us that is by saying, Subhanallahi wa bihamdih. Very interesting catch in the story of Prophet Nuh with his sons. Before his death, he did not worry about dividing the inheritance. He did not worry about what to take care of after his death, of business or properties or whatever. He only worried about one thing, at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah. This is, or that was, the main concern of Prophet Abraham and his son Ishmael. Upon completing the construction of the Kaaba, and they said, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. What was their invocation? They had a very high aspiration with regards to making dua or praying or asking Allah out of His bounties. They said, "Our Lord, maintain us in a state of Islam. Keep us Muslims. Keep us believers. Believe in You. Us and of our offspring as well." It is not realistic to say that I want all of my offspring become believers, because this is not going to happen. But they said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا, and they said, and of our offspring make a nation or an ummah who will believe in You, believe in One, in Your oneness. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Very interesting. What about the prophets of the children of Israel? Some people like to say the three divine religions. They call different legislations religions, and they equate them to Islam, and they equate them to monotheism. They say, we all believe in the same God. This is a false statement indeed. Let's see what the Quran tells us about Prophet Jacob. And Prophet Jacob, his other name is Israel. And from him, his 12 sons, the children of Israel. As a result of that, we have all the children of Israel. from Joseph, Benjamin, and the other 10 sons. So all the Jews and the Christians came from the children of Jacob, peace be upon him. Upon his death, Prophet Jacob, Yaqub, alayhi salam, gathered his 12 sons, Joseph, Benjamin, and others. And he asked them a very important question. What was it? The Quran recorded that, and we recite what Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in this regard. Allah the Almighty says in the second chapter of the Quran, Al-Baqarah, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Were you witnesses when death approached Prophet Jacob? He gathered his sons and he asked them this very question. He said, what are you going to worship after my death? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. What did they say? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون. Very interesting. They all agreed to the fact that we're going to worship your God, your Lord, the Lord of your forefathers, the Lord of Ibrahim, Abraham, and Ismail, Ishmael, and Isaac. إلها واحدا. He is only one God. And we submit ourselves to his will. So Prophet Jacob, Joseph, Isaac, Ishmael, Abraham, Noah, they were all Muslims. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah does not betray his servants. Allah does not present several religions to confuse his servants and his creatures. No, there is only one religion. This is the core of the message of every prophet. We have not sent any messenger to any people, but to deliver one message. To worship Allah alone, and to avoid worshipping any false deities, as we will discuss right now. The high aspiration of the prophets and the righteous ones led them to focus on the most important thing in life, which is to maintain the statement, the conditions and the state of belief till death and after death in their offspring. And that was very obvious from the previous verses that we discussed from the Quran. Why is that? Simply because Allah the Almighty said, as He promised, in the third chapter of the Quran, which is known as Ali Imran, there is a very powerful verse. In this verse, Allah the Almighty said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That's a fact. Nobody can deny. Every soul shall taste death. Nobody, even atheists, nobody denies death. Because we experience death and we see people die in front of us every day and every moment. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It's only on the day of judgment where you will get recompensed. And you receive your wages on full, whether good or bad, for whatever you did of good or bad. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. So whosoever will be removed away from fire and makes it to heaven, or make it to heaven, he will be the truly successful one. So the ultimate success is to be saved and receive salvation on the day of judgment. And this salvation would not be granted to anyone who does not believe sincerely in the oneness of Allah. Anyone who claims that Allah might have a son, or a daughter, or another controller, or a partner, then he will be prohibited from entering fire, heaven eternally. Rather, he will reside eternally in the fire of hell. May Allah protect us. We have to go for a short break and we'll resume after the break, inshallah. سنعود إن شاء الله. حان
أذان المغرب.
الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعث اللهم المقام المحمود الذي وعدته. عدنا بفضل الله.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and welcome back. In Surah An-Nahl, that chapter, the bees, the honey bees, verse number 36, Allah the Almighty says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَجَتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. This is a summary of appointing messengers and their message. Allah the Almighty said, verily we have appointed to every nation a messenger to convey the divine message to them. What was the divine message? أَنْ اَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَجَتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. That you should only worship Allah alone and avoid worshiping any false deities, whether this false deity is Satan, idols, humans, or any creature other than Allah the Almighty. Accordingly, any person who joins with his worship to Allah another, then this person is a disbeliever. This is what the Quran says. We find in chapter Az-Zumar, verse number 65, Allah the Almighty is warning His Messenger by saying, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What does it mean? Indeed, Allah has revealed to you and to the messengers before you this message, which is, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ, if you ever set partners to Allah in worship, if you ever worship other than Allah, or seek the help of other than Allah, then لا يحبطن عملك, then all your deeds will be in vain, will be wasted. None of them will be accepted by Allah. And eventually you will be among the losers. بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين. You should only worship Allah alone and be among the grateful. And that's why, once again, another confirmation by the end of Surah Al-Kahf or the cave. Allah the Almighty says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Shall we inform you about the greatest losers with regards to their deeds? What does it mean? It means that some people have been working very hard. They moved a mountain from point A to point B without any wages, without even thank you, without any appreciation, without any need. They didn't know why they were moving the mountain from point to another. They didn't know what is the purpose of life. They didn't know why do they have to worship and who should be worshipped. And accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named them, الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They went astray in this life while they used to think they're working hard and they're doing good righteous deeds. Yeah, perhaps they were doing good righteous deeds, but since it was not deposited in the proper place, it was not accepted. Because they were not doing this for Allah the Almighty. They were doing it for any other creature whom they considered as a god besides Allah. So the entire thing will be neglected and rejected. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَنُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. Such people who disbelieved in Allah or appointed partners to Allah in worship, they denied His verses, they denied the Quran and the message of His Prophet. On the Day of Judgment, they will have no balance of good deeds. In the Hadith, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, on the Day of Judgment, Allah the Almighty will present a very muscular and heavy weight man. He would not even weigh the wing of a fly. He would be very insignificant. He would worth nothing. Why? Because in this life he was a big shot. Maybe he was a king or a president or the world's richest man. But on the Day of Judgment, when he is presented before Allah the Almighty with no good deeds, because he did not believe in Allah, then he's worth nothing. لا يزن عند الله جناح بعوضة. But look at how Allah the Almighty sealed and ended up the chapter, the cave, by a beautiful verse, by saying, فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Let those who believe in Allah and hope to meet Him on the day of judgment with good deeds, which will be accepted, let them do what? فليعمل عملا صالحا. Belief by itself is not sufficient. Belief verified by actions. So let him or her do good righteous deeds while believing in Allah and whom, and not sit in partners to Allah in worship. Not only that, we find Allah the Almighty in a whole chapter which is known as At-Tawbah. At-Tawbah in Arabic means repentance. So it seems like that the chapter is dealing with the concept of repentance. But meanwhile, in verse number 114, we find Allah the Almighty is warning the Prophet and the believers against seeking forgiveness for those who die in a state of disbelief, even if they were their relatives, parents, or beloved ones. Allah the Almighty says, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. It is not permissible, nor is it befitting for the Prophet and the believers to seek forgiveness for those who die in a state of disbelief, because they will not be granted any forgiveness. Allah does not forgive disbelief, nor does He forgive the sins of the disbelievers, even if they have brought with them on the day of judgment mountains of good deeds. Even if one of them, before his or her death, donated their entire possessions to an orphanage or to righteous charity work. But it was not done for Allah, it was done in the name of whatever. And that's why their deeds would be rejected. What about when Prophet Abraham in the Quran sought forgiveness from Allah for his own father? That too is handled in this verse. وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ. Don't you think that Prophet Abraham was seeking forgiveness for Azar, his father, because he was permitted? No. He initially said, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ. I shall continue to seek forgiveness for you as long as Allah does not forbid me. So once Allah the Almighty forbade Ibrahim, peace be upon him, from asking for forgiveness for his father, he ceased. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ. And once Abraham's father died in a state of disbelief, so now he was certain and sure that he is an enemy to Allah because he did not believe when he was alive. So he is not eligible for any mercy on the day of judgment. At that, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ. Prophet Ibrahim, the most merciful man, disowned his father. He disowned him. He disassociated himself from him. Why? Because he knew, whenever a person dies in a state of disbelief, this is it for him. In the Sahih Hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if anyone of the people of the book, that refers to the children of Israel, hears of me, knows about my message, and my message is a continuation to the message of the prophets before me, and does not believe in me, nor does he follow me, then it is prohibited for him to find the fragrance of heaven. It is over. So there is only one ultimate way to success on the day of judgment and to receive salvation, which is to believe in the oneness of Allah and to worship Him alone, and obviously to believe in the message of Prophet Muhammad, and this what will show us and guide us how to worship this God purely and sincerely, as His Prophet explained to us. There are a couple of verses in the fourth chapter of the Quran that's called An-Nisa, or women, verse number 48 and verse number 116. Please mark them down. In these two verses, Allah the Almighty emphasizes the fact that He does not forgive the sins of those who die in a state of disbelief. Nor does He accept the good deeds. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. That is the end of verse number 48. Then again, in verse number 116, Allah the Almighty says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. The meaning of both verses in the beginning, that indeed Allah does not forgive shirk. Allah does not forgive sitting or taking partners to Him in worship. Yet He forgives any sin other than disbelief. Adultery, yes, it's a subject of forgiveness. Drinking, gambling, killing, whatever, Allah is the all forgiving, the most merciful. And whosoever commits shirk or takes partners to Allah in worship has indeed committed a great sin. That is the greatest sin ever. And in the other ayah it ends up with, he went astray far, far away. As I was addressing a group of audience once, and I quoted those couple of verses, somebody asked me, if Allah is the most merciful, if Allah can forgive any sin, if Allah stated that if His servant come to Him on the Day of Judgment with an earth full of sins, He would meet him with an earth full of forgiveness and mercy, why not disbelief? Why not shirk? Why not? And the answer is very simple. In the hadith, which we did not read it properly, which says, if you come to Me on the Day of Judgment with an earth full of sins, while believing in only Me as the true ultimate God, then I shall come to you with an earth full of forgiveness. So if somebody does not believe in a Creator, does not believe in Allah as the only one who should be worshipped, does not believe in Him as that on the Day of Judgment will be presented before Him, He is the one who presents the punishment and the reward, so why shall he be forgiven? He did not recognize His oneness. What about followers of other faiths, which some people tend to call them divine religions? In chapter Al-Ma'idah, the table, which is talking about the last supper with Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, by the end of the chapter. That's why it's called Al-Ma'idah, or the table. In verse number 72, Allah explains to us what should we believe as Muslims with regards to those who consider Jesus as God or the Son of God. What do we call them? He said, the Almighty, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Those who say that God is the Messiah, the Son of Mary, have disbelieved. So the Quran and Allah the Almighty says and judges them as disbelievers. Then what else? وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ. And the Messiah, Jesus the Son of Mary, peace be upon him, the Messenger of God, said what? وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. That was the teaching of the Messiah. He said, worship the all children of Israel. Worship Allah alone. He is my Lord and He is yours. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Whosoever disbelieves in Allah, Allah will forbid him eternally from entering heaven. And the wrongdoers, the criminals, and the disbelievers shall have no supporters on the Day of Judgment. So, this is how Islam views those who do not believe in the oneness of Allah, even if they keep talking that we are monotheistic and we believe in monotheism. Monotheism means that there is only one God who is worthy of worship. Say, Allah is one. He is the only one. He is eternal. He is self-sufficient. He begets not, nor was He begotten. And no one is ever equivalent to Him. That is the meaning of monotheism. That's why, brothers and sisters, our scholars taught us the following fact. It is not sufficient for any person to say, I believe in one God, I am monotheistic, or I believe in monotheism. It is not even sufficient to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, to enter heaven without fulfilling its requirements. So they counted from the Quran and the Sunnah seven conditions that have to be fulfilled. In order for a person, whenever he utters that statement, while fulfilling the 7 conditions, to be eligible to enter heaven, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. Number one is knowledge. To really know what it means. Allah the Almighty says in Surah Muhammad in verse number 19, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You gotta know that there is no God to be worshipped other than Allah. You have to have a proper knowledge that the only way to receive salvation on the Day of Judgment is to believe in that statement and understand what it means. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the sound hadith, which is narrated by Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever dies while he definitely knows and he's acknowledged that there is no God to be worshipped other than Allah shall enter heaven. And let me explain furthermore what is the meaning of knowledge or acknowledgement. You remember when the Prophet's uncle Abu Talib was dying and the Prophet, peace be upon him, rushed to visit him and try to dictate to him what to say. Say la ilaha illallah in order to enter heaven. Say la ilaha illallah. He was also surrounded by two Meccan tyrants, Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Umayyah. Every time the Prophet said to his uncle, say la ilaha illallah, they asked him not to say it. Why? What would it hurt you? It is just a statement. Because they understood that it is not just a statement. It's a statement that has its requirements, which is to abandon worship in other than Allah the Almighty, to believe in the message of Prophet Muhammad, to follow him strictly, and so on. Same condition happened when the Meccan leaders and chiefs gathered at Abu Talib's house while he was in his strength, and they asked him to try to stop Muhammad from his da'wah. So he assembled a meeting, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, all what I need from you is just one word. If you say this one word, Allah will make you the leaders of the whole world, and you will enter heaven, and you will be saved from fire. So Abu Jahl, the Pharaoh of our ummah, said, only one word? We're ready to say 10, if that would please your heart, and settle your case. Bring it on. What is the word? He says, say la ilaha illallah. They say any word, but not this word. So, that is the determining factor, which is to know what it means, because there will be requirements and applications. It is not just a statement. The second condition is certainty. You're certain that, sure, no matter what happens, that I'm not going to give up on my belief, because there is no other way out. The only way for salvation is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Let's take this phone call first and continue, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dr. Salama from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I could find the breeze of the beautiful city. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a visit to the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first.
How are you, Dr. Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah wa shukrullah. How are you?
It's a pleasure to listen to you in Arabic or in English. You are in the both ways, mashallah.
Thank you,
JazakAllah. How are you, Doctor?
Thank you. If you can raise your voice a little bit, I cannot really hear you properly.
Yes, I feel you. It is a pleasure to listen to you. And mashallah, to make a good explanation, either in English or in Arabic, mashallah.
Thank you, JazakAllah. May Allah bless you and your family. Thank you.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Inshallah, I hope, inshallah, soon I see you second time in Medina.
Inshallah. Inshallah, Christian, just pray for us. Thank you so much.
Khairan, Dr. Muhammad. MashaAllah, tabarak Allah, inshaAllah ta'ala, an yanfa' bika al-Islam wa al-Muslimin.
Allahumma amin. Thank you.
Inna nuhibbuka fi Allah ta'ala.
Ahabbaka alladhi ahbabtana fi. Thank you so much. JazakAllah khair. And that's why Allah Almighty says with regards to certainty in verse number 15 of chapter Al-Hudurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. They did not have any doubt. They said, we believe in Allah and they're willing to die for it. They're willing to die for it. Muslims are unlike any other nation. Muslims sacrifice their lives and the most valuable things in their lives for the sake of this one word. Because they know this entire life is nothing. It is a joy of deception. The actual real life is eternal life right there. And that's why to even die for the sake of Allah, the Almighty. Ammar ibn Yasir, his parents died for the sake of Allah. They were tortured to death just because they kept saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the third condition is al-qabul, or full acceptance. What does it mean? I perfectly understand that Allah is one and should be worshipped alone, and Muhammad is messenger. Okay. Are you ready to comply? I'm going to join two conditions, acceptance and following the ruling of the deen, al-inqiyad. Are you really ready to comply? What do you mean? I mean the following. There is a verse in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, where Allah the Almighty says, this is a real test for everyone who claims to be a believer. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Obviously, we really have to designate a whole episode to elaborate on this beautiful verse, because this is a serious test. The verse means, by your Lord, they believe not. Whom? Those who say that we are believers, we are Muslims, who are the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, Allah the Almighty said, they believe not until and unless they fulfill the following. Number one, يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They seek your judgment in whatever dispute arises between them. So whether the dispute is at home, family issue, between a couple, a husband and wife, or between two business partners, or between the ruler and also a rule, between companies, between individuals, people in the street, if we have any dispute, let's see what the Quran says. What is the solution? With regards to inheritance, with regards to business transaction, we seek the judgment of the Quran and the Sunnah. That's a serious test. Many people say, you know what, I don't think so. Then you're not a believer. Second, not only just seeking the judgment. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَارَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتِ. They find no resistance in their hearts to apply your decision, or to adopt it, or to act upon it. And there is even a higher level, which is وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they submit themselves totally to the will of Allah the Almighty. That is the meaning of Islam and its applications. To put Allah's law at work, at home, in the state, in the street, in our relations with each other, with the enemies, international relations, on every level. So if this is the case, then we're true believers. Otherwise, then we need to verify our iman. The fifth condition is truthfulness, or as-sidq. Because some people say it, but they do not really mean it. The hypocrites, at the time and at the life of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, used to say it. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, almost for a whole decade, did not miss a prayer behind the Prophet. But he died as a hypocrite, because he did not say it from his heart. Allah the Almighty says in the cigar, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. In fact, they do not really believe. They only say it by the tongue, in order to gain a worldly gain, or to deceive the believers, or whatever. So in this condition, they did not really believe. Two more conditions to wrap up this episode. Sincerity, and the seventh is love. I guess with regards to sincerity and love, we need to spend some more time. And since we came to the end of this episode, so I would remind you, and you remind me inshallah next episode, to cover in details the sixth and the seventh conditions of the applications of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And by that, brothers and sisters, we'll come to the end of this episode. We ask Allah the Almighty to teach us what we don't know, and to help us to act upon what we have learned. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.